genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we'll use it just a little bit later in the show to give away four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Two locations to serve you, one here in Ventura in the Barnes & Noble Plaza, the other in Oxnard at the intersection of Rose and Gonzalez. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is All About America. Each of my guests will give a unique perspective on America. My first guest is a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. He's turned his attention to writing about everything a good American should know in his book, A Patriot's A to Z of America. My second guest is an American taxpayer, a businessman, a father who immigrated to the United States from Italy. He founded the American People's Party. We'll get his political manifesto and what's right and wrong with America from his book, The America of My Dreams. My third guest is a presidential hopeful in 2012 representing the American Party of America, a party for people who want constitutional government for a constitutional republic. We'll discuss his platform and why he's running for the 2012 election. And if you want to join in the conversation or just ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Edward Mosier, served as a speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush, and he's also been a writer for Jay Leno of The Tonight Show. You talk about range and versatility. He's the author of the Politically Correct Guide series of books. Edward has co-written seven other books, and his articles have appeared in The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, USA Triathlon Life, and Boston Globe. Edward earned his MA in International Affairs from George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and his BA in Journalism from SUNY in Albany. He resides in Alexandria, Virginia. And joining us from Virginia, hi, Ed, how are you today?
Very good, Billy. Good to be here.
Well, thank you for being my guest. It's always fun to have a thought leader like yourself on, especially somebody who's had such a wild and varied background as you have. Now, I want to start with the obvious question. We're all taught American history at a very early age. I mean, we're taught this in school. It's supposed to imbue us with the American spirit and patriotism. So my question is, why is it so many of us forget what we've learned about American history as we grow older?
Well, I think a lot of times in schools, history isn't taught very well. It's the textbooks are kind of dull, and perhaps teachers aren't as involved in the subject as they want to be. One thing I wanted to do in this book was to really catch the reader's attention with each chapter, each section of the book. And I used a technique called in media res, in the middle of things, where I tried to grab the reader to bring them into the story. Like with the chapter on the Wright brothers,
yes.
Pioneers of Flight, I started with a plane crash, actually, of Orville Wright, where he was involved in the first fatal airplane crash in history, where an army pilot who was accompanying him died in the crash. Wilbur himself cracked a bunch of bones and ribs, but then went on with his brother, and they set all these piloting records.
Oh, that's an amazing
one. If you take that approach, you can really bring the reader and the student into history.
And that's a great way to do it. So you call that in the middle of things, and I like that. Which is worse, in your opinion, do you think, Ed, forgetting the history that we've learned about our national history, our national identity, or the misunderstandings and just the misperceptions that many American adults have about our history?
Well, I think it's true that you have to know history so in order to avoid future mistakes. The publisher asked me to do a chapter on the national debt, on debt in American history, and I found that for most of the country's history, and looking at it from today's perspective, you might say that the debt is overwhelming, that we have trillions of dollars owed, and there's nothing we can do about it. But actually, we've balanced the nation's books, at least from the federal level, for most of the years in American history. And that gives you hope that down the road we can do this again. So you can learn from history.
Well, now, have you shared your book with the super committee that's meeting in Washington, D.C.? Because the deadline is looming, and I'm not so sure that they're all on the same page.
That's a good idea. Perhaps I should run down to the Capitol building. I live a few miles away and start distributing the book.
Just hand them out right in front, because the congressmen and the senators on that committee could certainly use your help. My guest is Edward Moser. We're talking about his latest book, the A to Z, everything from A to Z about being a patriot. And now, Edward, looking at your book, it's a collection of 60 different stories, 60 different tales about America's greatest leaders, our greatest inventors, some of the major issues and reforms that we have made in the country. And I want to start with the whole idea of innovators, because America's always been a land of inventors, from Ben Franklin to the Wright brothers, who you just mentioned a moment ago, all the way up to the Apollo moon missions. So what inventions or what inventors really stand out as the ones that every good American should know about?
Well, that's really a theme of the book, the pioneering theme. It's true in social innovation with escaped slaves like Frederick Douglass, who went on to become emancipators, freedom fighters. It's true, of course, of more obviously of technologists, technology innovators. One that perhaps my favorite is a fellow named Norman Borlaug from the University of Minnesota. In the 1960s, he went down to Mexico, and he was a biologist along with a champion wrestler, and he invented the Miracle Rice grains, rice and wheat, which he then trained scientists to take all over the world, to China, to India, and they banished starvation from those countries, which for generations had terrible famines that killed millions of people. Today, that doesn't happen in those countries. So Norman Borlaug is an exemplar of American innovation.
Well, now, isn't it interesting that here we are in America, we invented, as you call it, the miracle rice grain, and yet we're having this controversy both in the United States and in Europe about what they call frankenfoods, that is, genetically modified seeds, genetically modified foods that people are rebelling against. Aren't genetically modified foods simply an extension of what Norman Borlaug started?
Actually, the book gets into the controversy that was going on at this time, where he was criticized by some scientists who said that the population boom in the world could not be fought, that we're just going to be drowned in people and we're going to be starving to death. And Borlaug really put the lie to that. And then what is more, by growing these grains on smaller amount of acreage, because their output was so much greater, farmers were able to use much less land and destroy less of the land, of the earth, if you will, as a result. So he was actually a noted naturalist as well as a great biologist.
Oh, that is wonderful. My guest is Edward Moser. His book, A Patriot's A to Z of America. And in the book, you also talk about our great leaders, and certainly our country has had many, many great leaders, starting with George Washington and carrying on throughout our history. But who stands out in your mind as among America's greatest leaders?
One of my personal favorites, and this is in a couple of chapters, the chapter on Lewis and Clark and the chapter on the Louisiana Purchase, is Thomas Jefferson. One reason he was a great leader is because he was so clever in diplomacy. When he was trying to negotiate the Louisiana Purchase, he sent the premier diplomat of his time, James Monroe, his protege, to France to back up an already astute diplomatic team. And at the same time, he got in touch with a good friend of his, a fellow named DuPont. Yes, the DuPont as in the chemical company,
right,
whose descendants, Mr. Monsieur DuPont came about, and he got the Frenchman DuPont to contact the high French officials with the notion of selling Louisiana in order to finance France's wars of the time. So very clever and adept president.
Without a doubt, and one of my personal favorites, but also a president that was surrounded by controversy, wasn't he, Ed? I mean, this is a man that was full of contradictions. On the one hand, he believed in the United States and the rights of all human beings. At the same time, he kept slaves. So he was a mass of contradictions. He didn't believe in the federal government, and yet he used the federal government to make one of the largest, if not the largest, single land purchase in United States history. He was an oxymoron. Do you have any more depth or detail about Thomas Jefferson as an historical figure?
Well, in the Louisiana Purchase section, I talk about that very contradiction, where he really believed that it was unconstitutional to borrow the money in order to purchase Louisiana. Then later in the book, I talk about that contradiction in the chapter on Martin Luther King, where he gives his great speech on the Washington on the grounds of the National Mall for equality of civil rights. And he keeps looking over to his right from the Lincoln Memorial down the mall to the Jefferson Memorial. And he quotes Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence about equality of all men, very much doing that ironically to try to get bring Jefferson's ideals into fulfillment in the modern time.
Well, Martin Luther King certainly stands out as one of the great reformers in American history. He's not alone by any stretch of the imagination. We've had a lot of great reformers, whether it is the suffrage movement of women or whether it was the civil rights movement in the 60s. Who stands out, or what are some of the more memorable stories that every American should know about reformers and reform movements in the U.S.?
Well, I used the middle of things technique for this chapter about this woman who arrived on the battlefield of the Civil War, the bloodiest day in American history, in Antietam, Maryland, where she brought forth medical goods to bring to the surgeons and the doctors who were treating both Union and Confederate alike. And who was this person? This was Clara Barton, who serves as a nurse in the Civil War, but then decades after the war, petitions Congress to set up this amazing organization called the Red Cross, which today, generations later, supplies half the blood supply to the country and much of the world. So she was a great reformer. Another one that we maybe have forgotten about, a lady named Anna Sullivan, who was the teacher to Helen Keller, the blind woman who became a great author.
Yes.
Because of those two ladies, people with handicaps and disabilities are treated now today as, almost as equal. Where back in the day, at the time of Anna Sullivan, they were often consigned to asylums, prisons, not treated as fully equal humans at all.
And the, one of the great reform movements. I love the way that your book really takes bits of history and puts you in the middle of things in stories that we don't often think about or perhaps we've forgotten over time. My guest is Edward Moser, author of the book, A Patriot's A to Z of America, Things Every Good American Should Know. And in an earlier answer, Ed, you were talking about Lewis and Clark. Now, there's the exploration team that opened up the West that really explored the Louisiana Purchase, as you said. They were great adventurers. They were great explorers. Our country is rife with them. Besides Lewis and Clark, who are some of the other great explorers that you talk about in your book?
One that jumps out, the way I bring him onto the stage, was a fellow who actually flew planes for the U.S. Postal Service. And he was involved in a number of crashes, in fact. He almost died. He broke bones a bunch of times. And after every plane crash, usually his route ended around Chicago. After each crash, which usually happened in the nighttime, he'd pull out a flashlight, find the mail, and then drag it over to a vehicle so it could be delivered promptly on time. Who was this fellow? This is Charles Lindbergh. And what does he go on to do? Of course, he sets the airspeed record for flying across the continent, and then he becomes the first man to fly across the Atlantic Ocean, and becoming, in the process, the most popular man in the world. And also, we tend to forget this, 1927, after he completes this feat, he really jump-starts the aviation industry in America. As a fellow pilot at the time said, people thought of us as space aliens before Lindbergh. But after Lindbergh, people began to think of flight as a normal thing and began to take to the air by the hundreds of thousands.
Well, it's interesting that that is a recurring theme throughout all of American innovation, starting with the Wright brothers, the first airplane to take flight, through, as you say, not only Charles Lindbergh, but there's Wiley Post, Amelia Earhart, all in that same generation of flyers out there making flying what it is today, which is relatively easy and relatively commonplace, all the way up to the Apollo moon missions. And we are the first and at this point the only country to ever land and return people from the moon. What is it about the American spirit, that pioneering adventurer spirit, that has led us literally to such heights in aviation history?
It's a number of things. One is that the nation was essentially founded during the Enlightenment. It came to birth in the 1700s, its revolution. At the same time, there was this tremendous scientific and technical revolution going on in Europe, which affected the entrepreneurs and innovators of America. It's no accident that in 1776, you have Jefferson writing the Declaration of Independence, but at the same very year, 1776, James Watt in England is inventing the steam engine. And then a generation after that, Robert Fulton, the American, takes that steam engine, puts it on a sailboat, and you have suddenly powered the steamboat. So America came of age during a time of scientific enlightenment, and because it was in this wholly new continent that was essentially democratic, not totally, but it was getting in that direction, it was able to take these scientific ideas and apply them freely to a huge new continent and invent new things.
Wow, what a great perspective. My guest is Edward Moser, author of the book, A Patriot's A to Z of America. So this is going to be asking a question like asking you to choose among your children, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Of all the seminal events that we've had in our history, which one seminal event really stands out as the most important in your mind?
Let me not pick an event, but a process.
Okay.
I have a chapter on religion in America, and again, religion was fortunate, sort of like science in America, to come of age at the right time. Many people, of course, are familiar with Thanksgiving coming up, the story of the Puritans, how they had religious oppression in England, they went to Holland, and they came to America. But that was true of many other religious groups that came to the U.S. The largest immigration group to the U.S. after the English were the Germans. Many of the Germans who settled, of course, the Pennsylvania Dutch throughout the Pennsylvania and the Midwest, many of them were fleeing the 30 Years' War in Germany in the 1600s, and then they came to America in the 1700s. And groups like extreme groups at the time, like the Amish, the Anabaptists, the Baptists, they came here only wanting to practice their ways of life in peace, and they were largely able to do that. And then later on, other groups like Catholics, Jews, modern times Hindus, Muslims, are able to come here and practice the religion they want, all because when the country was being founded, the groups that were coming here were able to find religious liberty. So I think that's an inspiring chapter in itself.
It certainly is. Ed, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, A Patriot's A to Z of America?
Well, I think the United States nowadays is in a little bit of a doldrums, perhaps, hard economic times. I think people are thinking that the country's best days are behind it, that sort of thing. But if you look at the nation's past and its pioneering ideals, I think there's very much to believe that it can rebound and build on things that have come before to improve itself in the future, that the best days are far ahead.
And that's a very optimistic, uplifting thought to leave us with. My guest has been Edward Moser, author of the book, A Patriot's A to Z of America, Things Every Good American Should Know. Ed, if people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the book is just coming out. It's just been shipped from the warehouse this week. And so you go to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble, to the Apple Store, and you'll find it there.
It's also available at our own Bank of Books here in Ventura, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Ed, it has been a delight. You're a fountain of knowledge. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.